Okay. Well, I'm going to talk about some data from inside genomics, two sides of data, similar to what John has talked about. It's a complex data on human where there are lots of unknowns. So the question is, how do you make some sense out of the data, looking at it from some angle? So. Okay, well, I just what I'm going to talk about is a microarray data. Well, this is trying to show kind of a warm, give you a warm, fuzzy feeling about this genomic revolution. Right? You have a sequence of DNA and eventually, proteins, and we want a pathway. So we want to see if there's any way we can get the pathway information and through.
Is this whole thing centered on Santa Barbara? And the information goes to Europe?
Yeah, actually, that's. I haven't noticed that. Okay, now the first set of experiment is about a set of cell lines where we stimulate it with a very strong stimulus, and then watch with a microarray, see how the different response evolves. Now, the stimulus is a chemical called PMA. It's a variable myristate acetate. It's a small chemical that imitates what naturally occurring in a cell that triggers a protein kinase called protein kinase C. Now, protein kinase C is a non-specific kinase that can phosphorylate many, many things in a cell. And so you add PMA to the cell and at the same time, Ion-myosin. Now, Ion-myosin releases a calcium store in the cell. So it's calcium. Cell usually have a compartments which has calcium in it, and Ion-myosin triggers the release of the calcium. And together, PMA and Ion-myosin is supposed to trigger a response from the cell. So the cell go crazy, does things, and proliferate. And many, many pathways been turned on. What biologists told me that this is the strongest stimulus you can have on this cell. So it's like a sledgehammer, it hit the cell very hard. Now, there are seven cells that's been examined, okay, with the acronyms here. We have B cells. I have most of these are cancer cells. You can have a cell line. And endothelial cell, you have endothelial cell, and red and blood, red and white blood cell. These are cancer cell lines originally derived from cancer from human. And then a jerkid is a famous cancer cell line. And then the last one is a pool of, it's basically blood, human blood. Okay, so now we use a microarray, and now there are three microarrays. It's a kind of early version. Now the first one contains each one contains about 100,000 genes, 100,000 elements on it, some of which overlap. So these are like how many of them shared? Because when they made it, they didn't know there was two pieces of the same gene, and later on they realized that, et cetera, et cetera. So altogether, we have about 23,000 usable elements. Okay, because there's some of them are bad, you can read it. Out of 26 possible. Now you just look at the data. Okay, now the cell the data is taken like 30 minutes after the stimulation, 1 hour, 2 hour, 4 hour, and 8 hours. Okay. Now if you look at the how many genes are changed differentially, right? So you have a reference cell. This is a two color array, like Stanford array. You compare the cell in the resting state with a one after stimulation. So if you look at...
You invert the color from a
pupil? You invert the color.
Reverse the dye, red and green. You said you did it in duplicates.
Well, it's done in duplicates.
Right.
So I understand that you do not invert it. And there are techniques. You mean you cancel out the error. There are people who are statisticians who's going to take care of that. They know it's like what's a bias there, and then they correct it somehow. We have two versions. We have the raw data, the original reading from the photo tube, and also this corrected ratio. So you can use either one, basically. Well, I have access to the pre-processing data, and then also have access to the one after being processed. I think I used this without much processing. What I did was when I'm in doubt, I just cut it out. Like you do a kind of a plot where you have psi 3 and psi 5, and then there's density, there's a intensity distribution, right, log. And then usually the problematic one is at a low intensity. Somehow the curve over the banana shape and stuff. So you do something to that. You cut it out, or you try to correct it in some fashion. So now you count how many genes are active out of 33,000. At the threefold level, if the difference is more than threefold, we have 200 genes which are classified as early genes. I'll tell you what's early and late. And this is kind of a nice classification of the data. And then 700 late genes. Whereas if you use a twofold criteria, there are much more genes. Okay. Now, the intrinsic noise of the data of the chip is about 1 or 2 per 10,000 elements. So that's what you, that's kind of the miss. At twofold level, right, the number of misidentification is 1 or 2 per chip per 10,000 elements. That's you obtain by hybridizing same against the same. Okay. And then just see how many are out of twofold. Okay, well, should I go to, okay. This is out of order. So printing kinase C, what it does is to When you add a PMA ionize, usually it's a inhibit itself. There's a pseudo docking domain, and it's the activation site. So when you add PMA ionize, and this thing opens up, it translocates to membrane and opens up, and now it's in action. Now you can phosphorylate many things. Now, as I said, was interesting to it turned out to be a nice device to classify genes according to whether they're transcribed early or transcribed late. Okay. What I mean by transcribed early is that they turn on very early. Okay. So as I said, there are 7 cell lines you stimulate with the thing, and then there you watch 30 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hour, 4 hour, and 8 hours. Okay. Now you see immediately there. Bunch of genes, well, this is one gene, each trace is one cell line. Okay. It's a response from one cell line. There's a bunch of genes which turn out very fast, okay, 30 minutes, 1 hour. They are already up, and then it comes down. This is a log 2 of ratio. So this is a twofold, fourfold, et cetera, eightfold. Okay. It's a log of the. Okay. There are genes like that. Then there are genes which are quiet, okay, and then you turn on and off. Now, it turned out this set of genes must not require transcription activity because it takes a large amount of time, maybe an hour, 1 hour, 2 hours, for the mRNA to be made and then transport out of the nucleus and then for the protein to be made and then come back, right? That takes an hour or 2 hours for. So these guys are turned on because of something else, not because of pre-existing activities.
So I think you're measuring this RNA activity.
So you think you're measuring, this is like microarray, you only want, you look at RNA.
You're saying RNA was not produced by the thing that you triggered it with, but it somehow shows up in your
So I'm trying to distinguish two classes of a response. The late genes are response that are due to the transcription activity of these early guys. Okay. So my picture is that you have a phosphorylation event, and suddenly, maybe in this next experiment, I'm going to talk about a case where a master transcription regulator is activated and goes into the cell and turns on a bunch of genes. And these proteins are pre-existing. They are already there. You don't have to make them. They are already there. You just need to activate them.
Proteins are already there.
Protein
activated by phosphorylation.
Right.
And trigger RNA production.
Right.
And then the RNA from the early guys then triggers new proteins which make the late guys.
That's exactly. Right. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So the idea is, I'm trying to drive at is that these guys are made, lots of these guys, okay, this is one guy, our single cell line. So, many examples of this. These are transcription factors. They get made through the triggering event of phosphorylation, et cetera. And then they later on turn on other guys. Okay. So for example, this gene is very quiet in early, and then you turn on and off. That can possibly because of this activity of these early genes. So we have a causality relationship here. Okay, this is a different angle to look at the data. So you, these are the six panel of the seven cell lines. Okay. One, I don't have a space. So now, each one is a time point. So you have you have a untreated versus untreated. That's a control, and you have half an hour, 1 hour, 2 hour, 4 hour, 8 hours, it's like that. And I'm plotting here is a number of new genes that is activated at that time point. Okay, you start a count, you watch all the genes, and whenever they're above twofold, okay, you have some threshold. You say, okay, if it's above twofold, I call it activated. Okay, and I can detect it. Now, you watch it, now you look at the number of genes, then number of new genes that is activated at that time point. And so you get a pattern like that. Each point is a count of how many genes are active at that time point. At that time point. I have like five data points.
Or a factor of two or a factor of three?
The criteria is a factor of two. It's more complicated. I can get in. I mean, there's a... Sorry, the red is induction. So it means it's induced. The green is suppression. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Okay. So the point is that although it's the same stimulus, you add the same thing to all the different cells. It's all human cell. It has exactly the same genome, right? But the response is very different. Okay. You have some cells. You have like 600 genes, and suddenly they turn on. Right? And some other cells. This one is supposed to be more responsive. It's endothelial cell. It's a kind of a cell which is supposed to be a sensor. So each cell has a very different response to the same stimulus. Yes? Sorry, it's a cell lines. Yeah, it's different from cells. Yeah. Yeah, these are all cell lines. Yeah. No, they have the same cell type. Yeah, but each one is it's not like you can't culture the cell in the human. So cell line is usually the cancer cell. It can kind of grow forever. So that's easier to do experiment with. Yeah. Because you need like so many cells, like 10 to the 9 cells to do experiment. Okay, the other way to look at the data is to look at the fraction of a gene that is induced versus suppressed. Okay, so you see more genes are induced earlier on in the early hours, and later lots of genes are suppressed instead of induced. So basically, so the red is induced, the green is suppressed. So that's just the ballpark way to look at the data. Okay. Now, this is an interesting one. Now, if you look at the genes, induced genes, that is common among all cells. Okay. So it's induced in this cell, this cell, this cell, this cell. Okay. And this is the number of genes. Oh, this is a log scale number. Okay. And this is the number of genes which is appear only in one cell, in each one of the seven cells, the seven cell lines. That's a number you get. Genes that are active in at least two cell lines, okay? Any two cell line combination. Okay? Now that's a 4, 5, 6. Now you see that very, very few genes are common, either induced or suppressed among all cell lines. Very, very few. Okay? So so immediately the response to the same stimulus of the different cell lines, they are very, very different. So most of the genes are only appearing in one cell. Yes?
But if you restrict that, you had a couple of lines that were like both T cell neurons,
right?
And if you restrict this because it's like cell lines of similar tissue type, like same reason that this looks different.
It will look different. I have a plot to show later on. I have a plot later on.
Okay.
That's maybe ask me some question afterward. Yeah.
So,
well, these are cancer, right? So healthy cells. Whether they're healthy, it would be very hard to do experiment. Later on, I have the other set of experiment, which is on healthy cell. It's on endothelial cell. You can grow, etc. So these are not normal cells. But since the stimulus is supposedly very strong, so therefore, I mean, you shouldn't, I mean, cell should respond somehow. Yeah. These are very cell different. So cancer cell line can, for one thing, they can divide indefinitely. The human, if you isolate a cell from human body, it won't be able to do that.
Yeah,
so it's a completely different.
If you want to say something about cancer, at some point, somebody needs to explore your own cell or experiment.
Right.
Six and seven, do they have unusually large responses? Ones that are shared among all the cells, are they also?
Yeah, usually they're stronger.
But there's only eight genes.
Yeah, there are only very few genes here. Right. And then if you look at the list, most of them are very strong transcription factors. There are FOS and DRON, which are known transcription factors. And then you have early growth response factors. There's a very potent transcription factors, etc. And then there's one which is previously unidentified. So these are what the company is interested in. PMA Ionizin. It triggers a protein kinase C pathway, and then I also release a calcium. There are several different ways to do that. Okay, so now if you look at the number of genes which appear only in one cell line, in this cell line, this is seven cell lines, number that is early and late, two colors. And then you see a very different response. Okay. Now, these are not noise. The noise level is like one, maybe less than 10 per. So the error bar is less than 10 here.
Right.
It depends on what you believe. Yeah, it really depends on what you believe.
Well,
so presumably the difference here is because the protein makeup, the pre-existing protein, they're all different in different cells.
Yes.
And a slight variation of that can cause. Now there'll be a very interesting experiment to do. Just basically compare the resting state of this cell with that cell, and this cell with that cell, or actually seven cell lines against the common pool, right? That'll be a very interesting experiment to do. But that somehow, because of budget issue, there, yeah, wasn't down. Yeah. But the thing is that the consent, I mean, if you ask the biologists, they would say, oh, it's very more or less the same.
You
shouldn't.
You had two cell lines, both that were white blood cells?
There's a one white blood cell, one red blood cell. Now, this is some kind of a cell. It's a cell which is going to, I don't know too much about cell lines. So, it's not a white blood cell, red blood cell. It's a derived from that. Or these cells can be differentiated to the white or red blood cell, but somehow become cancer. Yeah. Right, one of them is the normal cell. Yeah, PBMC is normal cell. This is the mixture of the cell lines. These are blood. You draw blood. Yeah. This is the normal. This is everybody has, because you can get the blood very easily. Yeah. So. Yeah.
You said the noise level is very small.
Right.
So what do you think? If you look at only those cells from one eye, they all have very similar expressions.
Sorry. What I mean is these are. These are judged by whether I call it active or not active. It's judged by whether it's more than twofold or less than twofold. Now, if you look at the instrument noise, like the noise on the chip, that noise, you sometimes misidentify. You say, okay, you hybridize the thing against itself,
yeah.
The resting cell against itself.
Then.
This is a mixture cell type. This is a mixture cell type. This is a mixture. There. Well, I think.
The cell lines have different DNA between them. Individual cell lines have the same DNA. The cell in the cell line.
No.
Yes, the cells they have the same.
The question of how different cells within the same cell line never came to focus here. We're talking about different cell lines.
Okay, so these guys, except this, each of them are exactly the same cell. You look at under microscope, you characterize it, it's the same cell. It's derived from it's like E. coli. It's grown from the same parents, right? And this one is different. This one is just blood. It's a mixture of lots of things. 30% of this, 20% of that, the other cell. They look different, right? And so that's yeah, right. Some of the cell lines have lost the genes, lost the response to certain activities. Okay, so this, I was trying to get some inference, say, okay, if you count number of cells which are activated in this cell line, that cell line. Okay. For example, okay, this cell line. You see, these are the early genes and these are the late genes. So maybe you are therefore, okay, maybe derive some inference and say, okay, maybe these early genes have something to do with the activation of that set of early, late genes, etc. Okay.
So if two cell lines were very close, these numbers would both be small or big?
Big.
Big.
Yeah.
So the two that are closest are which two?
There were two B cells. You want me to go back to that? Okay. Yeah, I can. Yeah, look it up. Yeah. But the conclusion was, oh well, I haven't spent too much time on it. There wasn't like obvious relationship. If you look at this, that, and not obvious that it should be related. So, and okay, this is basically a three, like the genes which are activated in three cells, and they have some pattern. Okay. Now, okay, I have to go through the rest of it. Okay, basically, so there are some reasons why you get a different response, because the protein kinase C is actually the isoprotein. It has 12 members given by this Greek alphabets, and then each cell has a distinct distribution of these isoenzymes. And so maybe that's the one reason why this is just to rationalize it. Nobody knows for sure why. No, this protein kinase is already in the cell, but it's prohibited by itself.
Why?
By itself. It has a, like what they call pseudo domain. It binds to its activation site.
I think the question is,
you, so, so right, I'm getting there.
You,
right. You activate it, yeah. You have a drug. So you have a drug which activates it,
yeah,
basically, yeah. Okay, well, I have 10 minutes. I'm going to zip through the next experiment. Okay. So next one is this early one. That one is a kind of very strong stimulus. You have hit it really hard. And this one is more kind of a therapeutic. It's supposed to be more pinpointed. Okay. So you add to the cell, same idea, you add to the cell TNF alpha. TNF alpha is a cytokine, which is induced response from the immune systems. Okay, and okay, so this is what is known about biochemistry of this thing. So you have this is the protein, the TNF. What you add to the cell lines is actually here is a cell. It's endothelial cell. It's a normal cell. This is not cancer cell. Okay. Now, so TNF alpha, you add it, there's a receptor for it, and there's a bunch of events triggering a cascade, including MAPK pathway we heard about. So, and then eventually it triggers a master transcription factor called NF kappa B, okay, which is discovered by David Baltimore 10 years ago, and there's lots of activity on that. So, okay, I'm not going to go into the details. Basically, this guy is already exists in the cytoplasm. An action of TNF causes it to get into the nucleus. Okay. And then, because it is a transcription factor, it turns on a bunch of genes. Okay. And then we want to watch that. So the idea is that there's a fast response and slow response. Fast response is because something already exists, and you activate it. And then suddenly you have a bunch of genes turn on. This is a different incarnation of the same pathway. Also, this thing, TNF, also turned on phosphatidylserine, other transcription regulators. It's also turned on apoptosis pathways, and so many, many things can happen. Okay. Now, the idea is that the activation of that triggers a response of a list of genes. Okay. And you watch that and possibly get a... Okay, now the idea, well... the objective here is to, first of all, figure out what other genes may be involved in this pathway by watching that, okay, or by comparing different cells, and to identify new players to tweak this pathway so that maybe there's some therapeutic effects. And secondly, to figure out which gene is expressed because of what? Right. This list of early genes is going to be different, slightly different, for different cell lines. And then we want to like to see if there's a regularity, some statement can be made. Okay. Well, this is a basically you can identify okay, so so there are like two steps in the Boolean network, basically. The presence of action of some protein in the cell, okay, is going to determine which set of early genes is going to turn on. Right, so that's a Boolean, if you think of a Boolean network, like the Boris Schreimann's Boolean function, he talked about that last week. So this is the one Boolean function, basically which early gene is on and off is determined by presence of absence of a certain protein, which already exists in the cell. Okay. Now then there's a second step in the Boolean network. The late genes, right, is going to be whether it's on and off, its state is determined by these early genes. Okay. So now we can try to figure out what is what are the players there by some data mining techniques, basically. Do guild by association, you go to the database with many gen chips, and then you see which one is associated with each other. And then that way, you can identify new players and then do experiment on that. So this is basically you put in the interleukin 1 and you pull out lots of other stuff, and some of which kind of looks interesting, etc. Okay, so it's a TNF experiment. Okay, now this set of experiment, well, this is basically the strategy to model it. You have a TNF triggering it, and then we're looking at endothelial cell, which is a kind of a surface cell in the inner blood vessel. And then you compare and trying to see the carry out this early gene, identify early gene and late gene, and trying to identify what's the new players and how do you tweak the network to elicitate different response. Now, so here's an example. You have at time zero, you add this triggering, this cytokine to the cell. This is some kind of this is a human aortic endothelial cell. And then the early time, there are like 50 genes, about 50 genes, turn on. That's detectable. And then a little later, you have about 150 genes turning on. So here is just basically the evidence. So some genes, this is you all the activated genes, you do some kind of clustering. And then you see some genes are, like you can classify them as early genes. They turn on very early. Right, these are actually it's a time, not in linear scale. It's a 1 hour, 2 hour, 4 hour. So basically there are genes which are turned on very early. There are genes which are activated very late. Okay. There are different clusters of genes. Now, if you look at the number of genes which are induced by twofold, as a function of time, 1 hour, these are the time points taken. Now you see a bunch of genes that turn on very early, and then it's pretty quiet for a while. Okay? And then the bunch of genes which are induced later on. So maybe you can separate genes into late and early. Okay. Now, this is one strategy is still how you use the same cell and you can treat it with a different chemicals, different cytokines, and see what's the response. That's one way you can get information. The other way you can get information is you use the same factor and then you treat the different cell lines. You try to hit the different cell lines. And because they are made up, it's slightly different. And then you hopefully from that data set you will see something. Supposedly, the mRNA need to get made, and that takes time. That takes about an hour, 2 hours. Yeah, I have no idea what's at that time scale. That's the answer. Yeah, that's one. Yeah, it's very hard to take a 12-hour data point or 14-hour data point because nobody wants to come back to do it again. 24 hours, but we have data point. We have a 10-hour. We have a gap. Yeah. Just the way. So these are very easy. This you can do it one day. That 2 days. So nobody wants to come back at night. Okay, well, I don't know. I want to bore you with that. So basically, this we take a list of endothelial cells I can grow on a petri dish. That's a thing. And then you take it from, this is a large blood vessel. It's all inner blood vessel. And these are the small blood vessel. And it's from the womb, from the newborn. So you get that cells. Okay. So again, the story here is that the gene has a different response. Okay, so it's the same gene in two cell lines, so they respond differently. Running out. Right, so then you look at the overlap of two different cell lines. Okay, one is they are all both endothelial cell, the line inside the blood vessel. So the one is from aortic, the other is from a brain. As aortic is a big from big vessel, so the overlap is small. Okay. So even for this very pinpoint the agent, you still see a very different response for the same kind of cell type. Okay, well this is just being conservative. This is two is pretty conservative. This is more conservative.
And you come to the week for more conservation.
Well, otherwise there'll be too many genes.
Too many genes.
Yeah, actually, I didn't do this. somebody else did that, and then. Yeah. So I'm just using this as an illustration. You can, this is way beyond the instrument. Sensitivity or detectability. I think twofold. Sometimes people use four. Sometimes that it comes back bad. I mean, some chip is bad, so you have to be more conservative. Okay. Well, I guess that's another set of experiments. I'm going to skip that because of time. So I'm going to just spend a few minutes to talk about this reverse engineering. Right? So here, you see, suppose we have a Boolean network, ABC, that can be 0 and 1. And then through some Boolean functions, it determines A prime, B prime, C prime. Some say A prime is a B, B prime is A or C, et cetera, right? And then we can get a pattern of output from any pattern of input, okay? Output, input, right? Okay, now the question is, suppose I don't give you this function and the connection, okay? I just tell you, okay, this is output, this is input. Can you construct a connection and these functions just by using the readout? So in this set of experiment, this 0 and 1 will be, each A and B and C will be a gene. Okay. Now, each 0 and 1 pattern will be whether the gene is active or not active. For example, this will be the late genes. Okay. Prime is the late genes, and the unprime is the early genes. Okay. And then I give you many examples. Examples is like different cell lines or different type of cells. Now, obviously, if I give you more example, you'll be more certain that it's a connection, a function, et cetera. Now, you can do that by cheating. Basically, construct a network and then produce a bunch of output, then hide the network, and then see if you can reconstruct that through some mean, right? That's just the matching, so it's very easy to do. So I did, a while ago, we did this work with Roland Somogyi and Stephanie Fullman. So these are the, so that what is interesting is that this is the number of pairs you need to reconstruct the network. And this is how unique that network is. This is basically probability of error, how constrained is that. So what's this plot illustrates basically, if you have a low connectivity, if one gene is connected with only another gene, k equal to 1, it's easier to do that. If you, on the other hand, if the gene is more connected, k equal to 3 means one gene on average is connected with three other genes, then it's harder, and it takes more input and output pairs to do that reconstruction because of the function is more complicated, etc. But what is interesting is that you get an exponential improvement. So the more data you get, right, the you fix the network exponentially fast. Okay, so that's maybe that's a, well, the error, the number of the number of possible network constraints goes down very fast. Yeah, so.
And what if you hide the fraction of the node? Suppose you generated a network with 50, but you only observe 20.
Okay.
That's not sensitive.
As far as I know, nobody has done that. Yeah. The guy, the well, later on, some people, Akusu from University of Tokyo, have extended this. We used some random pair. They used more like the data on the trajectory. But they also get some very nice results. But I don't think anybody has tried to hide part of the network and see what that. Yeah, that would be the more realistic situation. Yeah.
What about anybody tried putting noise observer?
Right. Right. As far as I know, but yeah. No. Right. Okay, so. I would say 6. I don't know.
Maybe 3.
Yeah.
3?
Well,
it depends on.
So. 3? So. Yeah. Depends on the organism. Yeah, depends on the organism, depends on the genes. Yeah. And depends on the whether. The, presumably, there's a gene which is dominating, like TNF, NF kappa B is very. When it's present, it just overrules everything else. So, then, situation like that, like what's called canalizing function, right? Stu Kaufman. Okay, so also you can obtain information by, okay, I guess I'm down, I'm up, I'm fit, well, don't have more time. So you can do the dosage. You can, I mean, use the same cell, and you just put a different amount. And then also there are evidence that there are interesting information you can get from that. You can, the regulatory information. So here's the trouble with this kind of approach is that you can't get too many cell lines, and then experiment is very expensive. So you want to get the trick is to get all the different conditions. The expression pattern are too redundant. They're always the same. So you can't get much inference from that. Like what we have John talked about earlier, all the genes are in the same cluster, so you can't distinguish them. So what you want is to get as many different conditions as possible, and then dosage turn out maybe. I mean, I won't have time to go into detail of this. You can get the different conditions by playing with the dosage. Not yet. Yeah. Not even to this data. This we have already like 10 different cell lines. So the whole thing. Yeah, okay, so basically I want to acknowledge the people who have done the experiment, and other people who has basically the database people, and also our leader, Dan Cox. Thank you very much.